A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 110. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Sapphire and Steel, the audio dramas. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Sapphire and Steel, a cult series from ITV, which ran from 1979 to 1982, was covered by Brian and Xander in British Invaders episode 1. And what we're dealing with here is a sort of spin-off into another medium. We have some extremely well-crafted audio dramas from the Big Finish company, which sort of continue the adventures of Sapphire and Steel, who are these strange, otherworldly agents or operatives who get assigned to investigate disturbances or abnormalities in time, problems that arise when time goes wrong. Very mysterious events that they have to get involved with.
Yes, very mysterious show and very mysterious audio series based on it. All so much about what you don't know and all these questions that remain unanswered. And we keep coming back to this phrase of them being science fiction ghost stories, which really sort of fits very well, both with the TV version and the audio version. It's very spooky stuff.
It is, yes.
And this is the first time that we are doing a discussion about a spin-off of a British television series rather than covering the TV series itself, which we've already done in this case. And we're figuring that we will maybe do this about once a year, and most of the time we will cover the television series themselves.
Okay, so in our last show we talked about the first season of audio dramas from Big Finish, and we talked a little bit about how the production came about. And I think it's fair to say, Brian, that that must have been a fairly successful season for Big Finish, because they fairly swiftly reunited the team to produce season 2. And we get another 6 stories in season 2. But there's a sort of shift in emphasis and tone, I think, Brian.
Yes, I think there is. In the first season, it was very much that they were trying to do the style of the television series, Sapphire and Steel, but with sort of new things being thrown at it. So, you know, what would you get with Sapphire and Steel on a train, or with certain issues of one type or another being put into it? What would you get with Sapphire and Steel being put into a sort of regular suburban home, and how would that work? You know, they tended to do those types of things that were an extension of the TV series in their first season. And in the second season, there was a shift in tone, and they went into things that were a little more experimental in the structure of it and more sort of out there. You had sort of a shift in tone. You didn't have as much of a single item, an object or a nursery rhyme or something acting as a trigger and causing the breakthrough, causing time to break out and into our reality. You didn't have as much of that sort of the single cause, and this is what was going on. It would be a little more complicated than that. And Sapphire and Steel seemed a little bit more vulnerable. They've always been vulnerable to these phenomena and these things that they are fighting against. But you had a little bit more where they could be manipulated and sort of brought into something strange that they weren't in control of. But at the same time, they were still quite powerful and still able to overcome these things. So there were some interesting things there, and there were definitely things where the writers were looking for new challenges for Sapphire and Steel, and new things where they could have the actors do things that were a little different with those characters, and sort of really pushing out into some directions that were quite out there in some ways.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, as you say, the first season is quite like the original TV show. But then for season 2, they really sort of step it up and they start to do some very interesting things. Although at the same time, they also manage to refer back to the stories both from season one and from the original TV shows. Plus, they have a sort of generally evolving story arc going on through season two of the audio dramas. So really quite clever stuff, I think, by the writers and the production team as this this show moved into its second season.
Yes, absolutely. And that story arc, and it wasn't a tremendously prominent story arc that took over everything, but it definitely comes up throughout the second season. And that was something that was really new to Sapphire and Steel. They had really never done that. It was basically always about, you have this serial and it's about these particular things, and when it's done, it's done. And about the only thing you had that connected from one to the other were sort of the basic ideas of things and the central characters, Sapphire and Steel, and also Silver reoccurred. But it was really something where it was very separate before, and they started to make something continuing. So that was definitely something new. There were some very good, very interesting guest performers that showed up in the second season of Big Finish Sapphire and Steel. You had Colin Baker, the Sixth Doctor from Doctor Who, showing up. Richard Franklin, who was Captain Yates in Doctor Who in the early 70s, he shows up and has a very interesting role in one of the stories, sort of weaving through it. So some interesting stuff there. You also had a couple of other elements or operatives, agents, however you want to refer to them. Mark Gatiss came back again as Gold. And Lisa Bowerman came in as a new character, Ruby, who is a very interesting operative there, who is a little bit like Sapphire in what she does and what she can do, but also brings some very new sort of character aspects and abilities and how she's focused as well. Lisa Bowerman is pretty well known for playing Bernice Summerfield for Big Finish, which she's been doing for many years now. And she has done a lot of work with Big Finish. She was also in the very last story of classic Doctor Who. She was in Survival as one of the cat people. She was the cat person who is befriended by Ace. So she has that connection as well.
Yeah, she's another one of these interesting sorts of actors. Multi-talented, I think, you know, and she directs as well. And Big Finish seemed to attract this quality of actor. And she actually directs a couple of the stories for this Big Finish Sapphire and Steel audio dramas. So she's, you know, again, heavily involved and very interesting.
Yeah, she has actually done a lot of directing for Big Finish. She is the sort of primary, or certainly one of the main directors for the Companion Chronicles series, telling these Doctor Who stories from a companion's point of view. She has directed other Doctor Who stories and things, and I understand she will be one of the main directors for the new Blake 7 series of audios that Big Finish is going to be producing as well.
So we've got this second season with six stories. We've got, as we've said, some very surreal and strange goings on. We've got Sapphire and Steel being forced to be much more involved and also being much more vulnerable. And this sort of slowly evolving story arc that runs through the six stories as they investigate these various mysterious events. So quite an interesting season all in all. As you say, a shift in tone from the first season.
Yeah, they added some new types of tension and character things, and did some things that were definitely different, but it was still very definitely, you know, unmistakably Sapphire and Steel. And season three came along as well, and they did four stories for season three, all double CD stories. It was actually something where season two had done well, but it was sort of planned to be the last one. They weren't really planning to do a third, it seemed. There were some comments about that. But season two did do well, and they decided, well, let's go ahead. And they did a third season, these four new stories that I think felt like a bit of a cross between the feel of season one and the feel of season two. It had some of these sort of new and different kinds of things, but felt a little bit more rooted to that TV Sapphire and Steel feel, and a little less sort of out there and surreal, but definitely also very good, and definitely felt new and had some of these sort of newer aspects in it as well.
So, yeah, interesting stuff. And again, Big Finish managing to attract some very interesting actors and some very good high-quality actors. And on particular note, we have Louise Jameson turns up in the third season, obviously famous for playing Leela in Doctor Who, but also for being in another British Invader show, The Omega Factor.
She has done some great work for Big Finish in a number of roles, going back and doing Leela as a young character and as an older character, but also a number of different characters in Drama Showcase and Tomorrow People. And she's really done some very good voice acting work there.
Absolutely. And always, again, interesting when she turns up. And then one other character actor, Sam Kelly, who very well known for British television, particularly for sitcoms over the years. And he turns up in an episode playing a sort of elderly comedian. And that's a very interesting episode. So, yeah, good stuff in season three. Slight change in the stories again. But, yes, again, Big Finish attracting some very high-quality people for these shows.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that they did that was very much sort of going in a different direction that was kind of neat, they did a title called Second Sight. It was the first one in the third series and sort of tied into some things that happened at the end of the second series. And they actually had different actors playing Sapphire and Steel. And they do explain why this is happening, but it gives sort of a different take on Sapphire and Steel and does some really interesting stuff there. It was a fascinating story and just some very sort of different, unusual take there. But at the same time, having a lot of that sort of classic TV Sapphire and Steel in there.
And they're very different actors, aren't they? I mean, when they appear, they're very different voices. And as you say, it really, you know, it changes things considerably. As we hear in the sort of introduction, Sapphire and Steel have been assigned, and it's almost that, you know, Sapphire and Steel have been replaced. So it's all explained in the story, but it's very dramatic.
Yes, it's like they're two very different versions of Sapphire and Steel, which, yeah, interesting stuff. Very well done.
There's also in the third season a story called Zero, which I liked, and that brings together Sapphire, Steel, and Silver and Gold and places them all on a space shuttle that appears to be in danger and also seems to be trapped in some sort of time anomaly. So another very interesting story with some great actors. David Collins back as Silver and, of course, Mark Gatiss as Gold. Great fun.
Yeah, they formed a great little ensemble acting team there. It was really neat.
Of hopelessness.
I don't understand, Sapphire. What is this vessel? What is its purpose? You said this is as far as it can travel, less than 400 miles from the Earth's surface. That's about 1/60th of the distance to the moon, let alone to the nearest world.
Sometimes, Steele, the journey is the purpose. Hello, Sapphire. I wouldn't get too close to the airlock if I were you.
Airlock? The airlock door. Behind the door. That's where it's strongest. But I think it's trapped in there. I feel its resentment. It's not clear. But that sense of
I think this brings us neatly into our discussion of some of our own thoughts about this series, the good and the bad, if you will. So why don't you kick things off with some of what you liked here?
Well, I mean, as you say, we've got lots of good things to say about these Big Finish audio dramas. Let's start with some excellent writing, taking the stuff from the original show, working with those ideas and then introducing some quite radically new ideas and doing some fascinating stuff. So the scripts are great, I think, Brian.
Yes, I would absolutely agree with that. There is some very good writing here. They did a very good job of taking the TV series, which was very much a very visual sort of series. It had good dialogue and it was very good. But it was not something that lent itself to audio as well as Doctor Who or Tomorrow People or Blake 7 for that matter. So they had to adapt it and turn it into something that was much more dialogue heavy and something much more suited to an audio medium. And of course, they were also bringing in these new actors. So they were going to be different actors, you know, slightly different takes on the two central characters. And I think they pulled that off brilliantly well. Like, as soon as they hit in series one with that first title, The Passenger Set on the Train, it was, you knew right away, yeah, they got this right. This is something new and something a little different, but it's definitely Sapphire and Steel, and it's definitely very good.
Absolutely, yes. And as you say, that brings us into the performances as well, with having to recast the main characters. But I think, Brian, we don't have too many problems with the performances here in these stories.
Well, they're both very strong actors to begin with. And yeah, I think they embrace the script and embrace those characters very well. And their chemistry is very good. You know, they hit it off and got that rhythm to it, which was very good. And I think they were not trying to replicate what was on the TV series. I think David Warner may not have even have seen the TV series, although Susanna Harker remembered it. But they were doing something new.
Absolutely. So we've got Susanna Harker and David Warner as Sapphire and Steel. Very, very good. And then all the supporting actors are also very impressive. And, you know, we've mentioned some of our favourites, particularly David Collins having great fun as a very sort of amusing Silver. And Mark Gatiss, you know, again, a British Invaders favourite. We love him when he turns up. And here he is doing a very good performance as Gold. But they're all great, I think, Brian.
Yeah, all of the elements or agents were very good. Lisa Bowerman as well did a wonderful job as Ruby. It was a really interesting character to listen to consistently.
Absolutely.
But the actors who were coming in playing the sort of regular humans were also very good. You tended to have more of them than you did in the original P.J. Hammond stories. The P.J. Hammond stories would often have one or two human characters running through it and the odd manifestation, and that was about it. You would have more here because it was so much more dialogue-based. But they always worked well. There was, in particular, Nicholas Briggs did a very good one in one case. And Richard Franklin, who we already mentioned, did a very good one in a story called The Surest Poison, which was more of an explicit time travel story than you usually have in Sapphire and Steel. Usually it's more about the distortions in time and the odd, you know, things jumping around, but not very much explicit, controlled, definite time travel. But that story, The Surest Poison, was the most definite, you know, real time travel story from Sapphire and Steel. And Richard Franklin was great in it, and the leads were great in it. It was one of my favorites in a Series 2 story. It worked very well, I thought.
Yes, it did. It was a very good story. And as you say, very interesting performances. And the time travel element, very good. And the production of these audio dramas, I mean, we've mentioned already that Big Finish do very good sound production. We expect high quality from them. And it doesn't disappoint here, I think, Brian. The sound design, which is so important for Sapphire and Steel to create the atmosphere, it's very good, isn't it?
Yes, it is. They used a number of the sound effects from the original TV series, which I thought was a really nice way to tie things in. So the sound effects when Sapphire is identifying the history of an object are the ones from the TV series. The same thing with when the characters are talking to each other telepathically, same kind of thing. And some of the sort of time distortion type things also from the TV series. And of course, they used that wonderful theme music from the TV series as well. So it was really nice to see those elements carrying over. And that really helped. I think there is nothing else, at least nothing that I have ever come across, that is quite like Sapphire and Steel. It's a really unusual and unique sort of show. And they made the audio version be very much also Sapphire and Steel and fit with that, but still be different and have its own kind of character to it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've mentioned already the music, the performances, the ticking clocks, the ticking watches, snatches of children's voices reciting nursery rhymes and so on. And it all builds up with the writing and the performances and gives us these memorably spooky stories. Pretty good stuff.
Do you have any complaints about it? What did you like less with it?
Well, I think this might be a first, but I can't find any fault with these audio dramas from Big Finish at all. I really didn't find anything that stuck out to me as being a problem with them. I don't know if you had any sort of minor quibbles yourself, Brian.
Very few. The only thing was the first time that I was listening to the second series, I was sort of a little surprised about its different directions it was going in, that you had Sapphire and Steel sort of almost becoming other characters in one of the titles, and then a different one had something where Sapphire was not in it for most of the story and then becomes involved later. So some of those things sort of surprised me. They weren't what I was expecting, and I enjoyed them a little bit less the first time round, but as I re-listened to them, I actually really like both of those stories a lot. So it was a bit of a surprise for me, being a fan of the original series. But really, in the end, I have to say that I have to turn around and say, no, I can't consider those complaints anymore, because I really like them so much. Yeah, they're really very solid, very good stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, yes, as you say, season two is a bit of a surprise, but the writers were, I think, and I'm sure you agree, they were being very clever, and without giving too much away, because we don't want to spoil it, but they were sort of playing with the idea of fiction itself. It's very neat.
Yes, it is. They do some very interesting things with it.
So any favorite standout episodes that we haven't, stories that we haven't mentioned already, Brian?
Well, there were some very good ones. We've already mentioned The Surest Poison and Zero, which were favorites of mine. There was also a story in the first series, in the first season, that took place in a suburban home and sort of managed to turn that into a sort of scary and intimidating setting, and sort of manipulated things with television commercials and pop songs and things. It was called Daisy Chain, and that was a very interesting one. It was not quite what I would have expected, but very much Sapphire and Steel and very good.
Yes, it was spooky and disturbing, and it doesn't perhaps end as you might think it would in a conventional story. So yeah, it's very good. We've mentioned briefly a story in season two called Cruel Immortality, which I particularly enjoyed. And I will just mention that it features an actress called Daphne Oxenford. And if I mention that she was the voice of Listen With Mother, for listeners of a certain age, you might realise how significant that is. And so that was an interesting story, and her presence gave it an added resonance.
Yes, that was very good. That used a number of older characters and older actors and did some very good things with them. That was interesting stuff for sure.
Yeah.
They actually, unusually, surprisingly, in the second season, they actually did a Christmas special or a Christmas story, which I think was almost like a dare of sorts. It's, you know, could you possibly do a Christmas story for Sapphire and Steel? It seems like something that would just not fit. And lo and behold, they did this story called Water Like a Stone that was really very good and had sort of Christmas-type things in it and had music hall things in it, and was really an excellent story, very unusual and innovative and good stuff.
Okay, so lots of very interesting stories to listen to here on these audio dramas, and I don't think we've got really any other sort of criticisms or quibbles to bring up about them, have we, Brian?
I don't think so. They were really very good.
Okay, so it's very solid stuff, very good. So if you do want to listen to these Big Finish audio dramas of Sapphire and Steel, their availability, they are obviously available from Big Finish, bigfinish.com, where you can purchase them on CD. Currently, I think they're running for between £11 to £15 for each individual story, or you can buy a whole season, and that breaks down as £25 for the first season, £30 for the second season, and £40 for the final season. Or, if you really want to go for it, you can get the complete bundle for £90, I think, currently, which gives you all 15 stories.
And there may be sales on those in the Big Finish summer sale in June or the Big Finish Christmas sale in December. That may happen. The Sapphire and Steel titles are not available as downloads from Big Finish, and that is due to the licensing of Sapphire and Steel.
Okay, but it is worth, as you say, watching out for the sales that Big Finish have twice a year.
Yes, that's right. So, our recommendations. I think this is going to be fairly predictable. I will start off and say I love the Big Finish audio dramas. I'm a big fan of their Doctor Who stuff. I really liked what they did with the Tomorrow People and many of their other things are very good as well. They've done some great work. Sapphire and Steel is no exception. In some respects, it's among the best things that they've done. It's really a very good run of stories. Sapphire and Steel, the TV series, is one of my favorites. I would say definitely check it out. It's well worth watching. And the audio series is also well worth listening to.
Okay, and it's going to be a very strong double recommendation from us here on British Invaders, because I love this these Big Finish audio dramas as well. I haven't listened to as much Big Finish as you have, Brian. I have listened to the 2000 AD stuff and to the Doctor Who Unbound series. But I think this Sapphire and Steel might be my favourite that I've listened to so far. They're really very good. We really hope that you have a listen to them as well, and that if you do, you let us know what you think of them. Or if you've already listened to some of these Sapphire and Steel stories, please jump in on the Facebook group and give us some reviews.
Absolutely, please do. So, in summary, Sapphire and Steel was originally a TV series in the late 70s and early 1980s that was adapted into an audio series by Big Finish Productions. It ran for 6 stories on TV and a total of 15 stories on audio, and it went into this more dialogue-based form and was very interesting and different and innovative, and I have not seen or heard anything else that is quite like Sapphire and Steel. It was a great show that dealt with these two operatives called Sapphire and Steel, who would pursue breaches and problems in time itself and go to correct those in very mysterious ways and different and interesting ways, and humans would sometimes be involved, sometimes to their detriment and sometimes not. And you had these very interesting, mysterious stories where there was as much that you didn't know, or even more that you didn't know compared to what you did know.
It's a very interesting show, and we really recommend these audio dramas, and do let us know if you've heard them or plan to listen to them in the future.
Absolutely, it's good stuff, so let us know.
So, and also, please come back and join us next time when we're jumping back to British science fiction television. In fact, you look at a television show from the early 1970s, a BBC children's show called The Changes, another post-apocalyptic story based on a series of books by Peter Dickinson. So something interesting to talk about when we come back again next time.
Yes, interesting books and interesting shows. So it will be a good discussion to have, so please join us for that. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much, and until next time, this is Eamon in England saying goodbye.